Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart. Now, first guest this week is from Finding Yeezus and the Total Reboot podcast. It's Alexi Toliopoulos.
Matt, it is my pleasure to return to the podcast and to once again show off my incredible intellect in knowing fun facts from around the globe.
It's so good to have your big intellect back on the pod. And our second guest this week is the Book Chook himself, host of the Do Go On and Book Cheat podcasts. It's Dave Warnicki.
Hello. It's so great to be here to show my total lack of intellect.
Wow. You are the yin and yang of the podcast world.
Finally, the two mighty sides of the spectrum have met.
I'm here to lift you up and make you look good, Lexi.
Thank you. But, you know, Dave, you are one of the great trivia minds. You and I have a background in trivia, so I think we might be seeing a clash of some kind of trivia titans.
Oh, here we go. Okay, well, put them up. I'm ready.
This is why the house invited you on, to try and, you know, beat the undebeatable. That's undebeatable. Right. That's undebatable.
But you're undebatable.
Oh, God. Oh, no. And Lex, we've interrupted you. You're coming in down the line from Sydney, Australia, and you've got an oven cooking there in the background?
Yes. I am recording from my kitchen because I am baking a cake as this podcast records. I am baking a cake. I had other plans today as well. You know, I've got my life does not just revolve around podcast appearances, but I am baking a cake. I'm not just a debater. I'm a freaking baker as well.
Well, I look forward to seeing and hearing how the process goes today.
I shall give you hints at what the cake is, perhaps, ooh, throughout the game.
Okay.
I will start with one ingredient now.
Okay.
Flour.
Oh, okay. So it's not a flourless cake. Okay.
I'm going to go sponge.
I'm going to go black forest.
Both incredibly incorrect guesses. Okay.
Incredibly incorrect.
Extremely far off like so far.
Embarrassingly so.
Oh, there is not one scant berry in this cake, so let alone a black forest full of them.
Damn.
Alexi, just in case you've forgotten how the show works, this is how it goes. I ask a relatively obscure...
Wow, you're going to ask a relatively obtuse question of some kind?
I ask a relatively obscure trivia question, and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and I have to guess which one is correct. Are we ready to play?
Yes.
Absolutely.
The first question comes from listener Kelly Clark from Perth. And Kelly's question is, the word zucchetto means small gourd in Italian.
Wow.
But what does it mean when it comes to Christianity? The word zucchetto means small gourd in Italian.
Small gourd.
Gourd, which is like the family that pumpkins and stuff come from.
Okay.
I believe it would be related to the word zucchini, is my guess.
Oh.
I think a zucchini might be a gourd, yeah. Jeez, wow. You are good at this, Lex.
Well, you know, I'm bilingual, so I understand multiple languages, giving me access to greater means of understanding the world around me.
So what does zucchetto mean when it comes to Christianity? And while you're writing your answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house. And the house always wins. Though if you've listened to previous episodes, you know that is not necessarily the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. And if you want to write a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogonpod, which is linked in the show notes. Oh my God, is that a cake-based cake, alarm?
That is my cake to be tested in one moment.
Oh, wow.
So give me one moment. I will send my message and then I shall go check the cake. But one moment before that.
And we've got to ask how the cake's going before we get to these answers.
Yeah.
The cake looks wonderful. It fantastic. Smells delicular. Delicular? It's a delicular.
On a molecular level.
Yeah, on a molecular level, it's delicate. It smells real good. Do you want me to reveal one ingredient
too? Yeah, sure. Yeah, one more ingredient, please.
It's a citrus. There's a citrus in there.
Oh, lemon cake.
Not lemon, mate.
Okay.
Let me tell you, we're probably three guesses down. I think you'll get the citrus.
Is this some sort of orange?
No, slice? No. You get on the next one, I reckon, the next citrus. It's
definitely mandarin.
You're close.
All right, well, we'll wait and see.
we respect a game and we'll wait to the next round.
I think a little bit of this cake-based B-plot might make it. I've started, since you're last here, Alexi, I've started doing some trimming out some stuff and putting the real juicy bits at the end.
Awesome to find out something's not going to make the main cut while it's happening.
No, I mean, obviously the game part will, but some of that, like when you're off at the oven and we're hearing you rattling around, I think some of that might get trimmed out and put at the end. I wouldn't cut it altogether.
Yeah, what a way to be put on notice. Hey, this through line, it's not going to make
it. Hang on, you're taking me all wrong.
The only one that's meant to be cutting the cake is me, sir, so leave it in.
I think this whole segment is delicular. All right, so here is question number one. The word zucchetto means small gourd in Italian, but what does it mean in terms of Christianity? A traditional drum used by the little drummer boy, which was made by stretching fabric across a hollowed out pumpkin.
Wow.
A golden amulet used to store and bless incense. A skullcap worn by Catholic bishops and other Catholic clerics. A vegetable consumed in ancient Babylonia that was considered to be the fruits of the gods, not the gourds. Or a small chimney at the Vatican that lets the people know when a new pope meal is ready. White smoke indicates the pope's dinner is good to go, while black smoke signifies it's burnt.
Wow. Now, that you know, we still use that every day in the baking world as well.
Yeah, we look at over Alexi's shoulder, there's a lot of black smoke coming from that oven.
Okay.
Wonderful answers submitted by both the house and presumably Dave and myself.
Presumably.
Any jumping out at you?
I love skull caps. I'll tell you, I love skull caps, and I love picturing that a little fella, you know, perhaps a priest or something, or a monk with a little skull cap that's shaped like a zucchini. I like that. It's like a little top, you know, the little part of the zucchini, the top where the root attaches to
it?
Yes. I'm picturing that on the guy's
what
head.
What a beautiful adornment that would be.
I'm cackling on the inside. I'm delighted in it.
I was thinking you more meant long ways for the zucchini, so it just went down the middle like a mohawk. Which I also like.
Wow, there are so many ways to wear a zucchetto.
You must assume that if that is the correct one, that must have been where it began, must have been just a dried out zucchetto.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where I'm leaning, to be honest. I'm also thinking about that beautiful gourd with the skin or whatever turned on to turn into a beautiful drum of some kind.
For the little drummer boy.
One of the great instruments. But Little Drummer Boy seems too recent to be part of, like, it's like modern Christianity. Oh, maybe. You
I
didn't
thought
say
little
it was
Little Drummer
ancient.
Boy was there at the... Wasn't he there when... In the... No, maybe...
In the stable.
Was he not there in the stable?
I think that would be pretty annoying.
A donkey, a cow, a boy doing a drum solo.
Maybe I'm thinking of Whiplash, where I'm thinking it's quite a modern drummer
that
boy.
That's the modern drummer boy.
Either I'm going to go zucchetto is a little skull cap worn by, Orthodox priests or something?
Catholic bishops and other Catholic clerics.
Clerics. It's a clerical hat.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a great Jay and Silent Bob film, Clerics.
We pronounce it differently down here. I think I was also interested in the Skullcat one, but we also, number one was Pumpkin Drummer Boy.
Yes. Number two was the Golden Amulet.
Number three,
with the incense, the skull cap.
Four, I think, is the one I've forgotten.
The vegetable consumed in ancient Babylonia.
Oof.
Or the small chimney in the Vatican.
I think it was between Skullcap and Drummer Boy, and Alexi's gone with Skullcap, so please lock in Drummer Boy.
You, of course, can always go for the same, but you want to go Drummer Boy?
No, where's the fun in that? Drummer Boy, please.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. The small chimney at the Vatican, that was written by the House.
Wow.
The vegetable consumed in ancient Babylonia was written by Alexi. I think you must have missed the bit that was said it was about Christianity, because you've gone pre-Christianity, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's part of the same book, dude.
Oh, that's true.
They love that, that old very stuff. True point. The old stuff.
You're thinking, you know? First Testament. Old Testament.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a moron, okay? I'll admit it.
That's what I was saying. The golden amulet used to store and bless incense. That was Dave.
I love amulets. I love them.
Oh, amulets are fantastic.
Of course, I've always said that about you. That's one of the most amuleted men that I know, wearing a lovely amulet at all times.
At all times.
Is an amulet like one of those things that's like a little necklace that opens up?
Yeah, and they often, you know, there's... It's like, find the golden amulet.
Right. Mm. Is it like the one that Little Orphan Annie had in the movie Annie?
I think you're thinking of a locket, mate.
That's a locket.
An amulet's not shaped like a heart with like a message from like your parents' World War II letters.
All right.
A photo of your best friend in there.
Yeah,
that's a modern day amulet.
An amulet is more to like, you know, you complete a quest and the amulet will open, I think.
Well, that's what the Little Orphan Annie was trying to complete, the quest of finding her parents.
Wow. And then it will open.
Yeah. Her half of the amulet was going to match their half. But... Fine, if you don't get culture. the traditional drum used by the Little Drummer Boy, that was written by Kelly, a.k.a. The House.
Oh, you got me, Kelly.
So a point there for The House, meaning, Alexi, you are correct. It's a skull cap worn by Catholic bishops and other Catholic clerics.
Wow, snoochy boochy.
Yeah, that must have been a Saturday Night Live sketch at one point.
I can
clerics,
imagine it.
A couple of bishops behind a counter.
I was even supposed to be praying today.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so quick score check if you need it. Alexi on 1 point, House on 1 point, Dave yet to score.
Okay.
That brings us up to question number two.
It feels personal, but okay, let's move on.
I feel a mighty vengeance is about to be struck upon me.
All right, here it is. This one comes from Susie from Sacramento.
Well, Sacramento Sues.
And Sacramento Sues asks, why did Jason Stoll of Florida get arrested on May the 12th, 2022? Why did Jason Stoll of Florida get arrested on May the 12th, 2022? While you're writing your answers, here's some more info on Zucchettos. Kelly writes, I've paraphrased this from Wikipedia.org, a great website that seems to be about the funky hats different Christians wear. Oh, that's cool. Always good to hear about a new online resource. Kelly continues, it is almost identical to the Jewish kippah or yarmulke, except for a small stem at the top. Oh, Lex, that would be that little stem that it's got.
Wow.
It must be
wow.
zucchini related.
Wow.
The zucchetto originated as the Greek pilos and is related to the beret, which itself was originally a large zucchetto. Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Holy moly.
So it's a tiny beret.
It's a tiny beret.
I love that. I might start wearing a zucchetto. Oh, I think I know what they are. I've seen them on Cardinals and stuff. They wear a little kind of beret thing, a little pipply on the top, you know?
Yes.
A little tiny little pokey.
That's right. Yes, I'm looking at one now. It sort of looks like the top of a banana or something, or an apple. It's a bit of the red one looks a lot like the top of an apple. I would have called it an apple hat. Apple teeny or something.
I can see the hunger in your eyes while you're looking at it. You're going to freaking feast on this guy's head.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be wearing one of them around me, I tell you that. Oh, I wonder if the cake's an apple cake. I just think maybe the citrus clue might have been a red herring.
Oh, right. As in a lie.
A lie.
I'm a known liar. Is that what a red herring is? Wow. Shall I reveal to you what the citrus in the cake is?
Oh, I think we know. It's got to be lime.
No way, Jose.
Ooh.
Dave, what are you thinking?
Okay. Grapefruit.
Ooh.
Correct. It is grapefruit.
I was not thinking. Wow, so you've got like, it's a sour... Sweetness.
Oh, you
it's more sweetness. More sweetness it will translate to in the end.
That, to me, that doesn't sound like something I'd want to eat.
Wow.
My dad used to get up in the morning and squeeze a glass of grapefruit juice and eat it every drink it every morning. I had a sip one time. It was awful stuff.
I think every hotel buffet with a breakfast I've ever been to, I've been tricked into that. You see, there's the apple, there's the orange. You have a glass of each and you think, may as well have a go for the... the trifecta mm-hmm. here. I'll get the grapefruit juice, thinking it's going to be delicious and sweet and refreshing, but it is tangy.
It's
tang. It's a powerful tang.
It's huge.
Oh. It is bileless, unfortunately.
Does it? It sounds like it should be so good. Grapes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so and sweet fruit. And juicy. Man. And fruit.
That's a tick tick.
My favorite thing that a grape is.
the fruit's so nice, they named it twice. Does feel like any fruit with fruit at the end is, I mean, it's trying too hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm, absolutely. It's trying to remind you what it is because its taste is so far removed from what you associate with fruit.
Exactly.
So have we guessed, is that the full guess? It's a grapefruit cake or there's more?
No, there's more to it. Wow. Much more to it. I'll tell you the main thing of the grapefruit is I zest two grapefruits and then I infuse sugar with the zest of the grapefruit.
Oh my gosh.
All right. What about, do we have another guess now, or is that grapefruit is what we got to? We've got to wait another round to have another
guess.
We'll
wait another round. I'll tell you the other key ingredient.
Fantastic.
I'm thinking
and it will be revealed to pretty much what the whole cake is there.
The other ingredient is cake.
Yeah, I basically smashed a grapefruit into a cake and yum, yum, yum.
All right. We're up to question number two from Sacramento Sioux. Why did Jason Stoll of Florida get arrested on May the 12th, 2022? He released his pet alligator into a supermarket as an act of revenge after he was accused of stealing deli meat.
Wow. I would take that very personally if I was accused of stealing deli meat, so I can understand his vengeful soul.
But they're so delicious.
He threw a hot dog at a police officer. He was transporting narcotics across state lines, smuggled inside the bellies of alligators.
Oh.
He tried to buy drugs off a cop at a Halloween party, assuming their uniform was a costume. Or he committed an armed robbery using a small handheld alligator as a weapon.
Wow.
There's three alligators.
Three alligators. Does this tell our Florida listeners what we think of them?
This is all we know about you. Unless it's proven right and one of the three are right, and then we were correct to assume that.
Wow.
Three of the five alligator based.
Three of the five. And the other ones were narcotics.
Hot dogs based?
No, hot dogs and cop based.
Yes, that's right.
Hot dogs and cops. Wow, it sounds like a good album name. Hot dogs and cops, you know? I like that.
Dave, what do you think?
Okay, so look, I don't want to be fact check Fred over here, but I believe you said this took place in May, this arrest. Were they arrested for an incident at... Are we meant to believe that they were arrested for a Halloween party 6 months after they attended it?
It took him a while to find him.
Yeah, that makes sense. He would have been in costume himself at the time. Exactly. So it was took them a while to identify who the guy was. They were looking for Dr. Victor Frankenstein for 6 months.
Well, cops work slow in Florida. Unless you're Horatio from CSI Miami. What a guy.
Which one was Horatio?
He was the one that was always saying a pithy line, then putting the sunglasses on as the Who player.
I thought that was all of them. No.
No, he was definitely the
king. He's a redhead.
He'd
be
one.
A fan. What was his actor's name, Lex? David Caruso?
David something.
It
David
is Caruso.
How did my brain access that? Never saw the show.
Was it NYPD Blue as well, that guy?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. So,
you're ruling that one out?
He probably just threw a hot dog at a cop.
I don't know if that's an arrestable offense. If I was a cop and a hot dog got tossed at me, I'd be really annoyed, but I'm not going to go, let's get this bee, you know?
I'd be saying, have another shot and opening my mouth even wider.
Let's go again, double or nothing. And then to differentiate the three alligator-based stories, what were they again?
So you had releasing a pet alligator in a supermarket as an act of revenge for the deli meats, transporting narcotics inside alligators, or committing an armed robbery using a small handheld alligator.
Handheld alligator.
Handheld is an incredible detail. A sawn-off alligator. unfortunately, that means he was just pointing like an open stomach of an alligator.
Hey, that would work for me. I'm like, wow, he's going to spill some hot acid and bile on me.
Yeah, this is gross. Wow. I mean, sometimes you go with the one you want it to be, and that's the one I want it to be.
All right.
Hold up. With an alligator.
All right, locking that in for Dave. What are you thinking, Lex?
Good Lord Almighty, what am I thinking? You know what? Maybe I will go the hot dog. I'm going to go the hot dog. Yeah, I'm going to go the hot dog.
All right, hot dog for Lex. Here's who wrote the answers. He released his pet alligator in a supermarket as an act of revenge. That was Dave Warnocky.
I love deli meats.
He was transporting narcotics across state lines inside the bellies of alligators. That was Alexi. He tried to buy drugs off a cop at a Halloween party. That was the house.
Wow.
Damn you, Dave.
Sorry for putting the plot hole there.
I should have just said a dress-up party. I flew too close to the sun, much like Icarus.
Wow, one of my ancestors.
He committed an armed robbery using a small handheld alligator. That was also the house.
Damn it.
But funnily enough, Susie's initial answer was very close to yours, Dave. She wrote, he threw an alligator into a fast food restaurant. And I extrapolated that to handheld alligator. And then that means 1 point of the house there. And the correct answer is he threw a hot dog at a police officer.
What the hell?
So once again, 1 point to the house, 1 point to Alexi at Tolopoulos.
I think that's not that bad. That cop is corrupt, I'll say.
Depends if the hot dog's like covered in sauce.
Oh, okay.
Like, or a mustard. Mm.
Yeah. I was imagining, just a boiled dog. That's it. No raw, bun.
Yeah, just dog. Flopped onto him. Raw dog. He got raw dog to cop. Oh, raw or cooked? Yeah, man, a cold dog, that's insulting. If it's nicely cooked in a bun.
Yeah, you appreciate that.
Yeah, that feels like, what is this?
Yeah, that's just teppanyaki. He's just throwing food that you enjoy.
All right, question number three comes from Betsy from California. And Betsy's question is, which of the following is a real breed of cattle? Which of the following is a real breed of cattle? So you've just got to come up with a fake name for cattle, a breed of cattle. While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a little bit more about the hot dog incident. According to the Channel 8 News website, a Newport Richey man was arrested on a felony charge Saturday after authorities said he threw a hot dog at an officer who was warning him of violating a city ordinance. Officers said Jason Stoll, 47, ignored the warnings and continued to sell hot dogs in the roadway Saturday around 12 a.m. after his street closure permit had ended.
Oh my gosh.
Stoll was asked to put the hot dog down, but authorities said he continued his attempt to sell it. Put the hot dog down.
No, who wants to buy it?
Stoll then became extremely upset before he intentionally threw a hot dog at the officer. The officer was in full police uniform at the time of the incident. Stoll was charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting an officer without violence. I mean, he's lucky for that to be called without violence.
But without violence, are they saying that, like, so the charge is you didn't use enough violence?
Yeah.
Our problem here is you didn't resist enough.
If you're going to resist, do it with violence, mate. If convicted, he would face up to 3 years in jail.
No, that's
up
really
to a minimum.
What a strange, minimum?
Up to a minimum of 3 years in jail. That's a baffling sentence. According to Susie, a little bit more information to paint a picture of this man. He's got a tattoo that says, hustle, eat, sleep, repeat.
Fuck. Motto that we all live by in some regard, I guess.
I agree with Susie, who says, it's a good motto. Bang on, Suze. Here's question number three. Which of the following is a real breed of cattle? Bahama Brahma? White spoofed Macy?
Fucking oath.
Like what? Hoofed, Macy, maybe, but...
That's fantastic.
Oh, oh shit. Why Spoof Macy? What's That's one of my favourite actors.
The Adelaide Cows.
Adelaide. Plural.
Florida Cracker. Or the Humongous Heifer.
Wow. I can't believe one of them's real.
Bahama Brahma. What Spoofed Macy? The Adelaide Cows. Florida Cracker. Or the Humongous Heifer.
Wow. I've been trying to bring Cracker back recently. Yeah. I've been calling people Cracker.
Yeah.
And Honky. I've been calling people Honkies and Crackers recently. Wow.
Cracker's never... I don't think it's ever been really used over here much as a term.
No.
If I hear Cracker, I think that person's like a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. He's a real Cracker.
He's a Cracker. He's
an absolute Cracker. That Whoa. Seems like a... But yeah, you're trying to bring it back in an egg.
Yeah, because, you know, we use skip a lot in Australia. Skip is kind of what we would call a cracker. But now I'm trying to bring cracker and honky back. I'm going to call people honkies.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm tempted to go cracker because of that. But the other ones I'm looking at, heifer, I know, is a term used for cows and stuff like that.
That's true.
But cracker is so tempting. And also, white spoofed Macy. How do you spell that? How do you spell it?
White, as you'd expect, spoofed, or spoofed, as you'd expect, and Macy, wow. M-A-C-E-Y.
And you would expect those together. You would
Yeah, it's a tautology, really, isn't it? White spoofed. Let me know if it's out of the ordinary. You can just say spoofed, Macy.
I'm going to go Bahama Brahma.
Bahama Brahma for Lex.
Yeah, because probably there are cows in the Bahamas.
Probably.
And I don't know what Brahma is. Maybe it's a cow.
What do you think, Dave?
What was the humongous heifer?
Humongous heifer.
I reckon that could be like some sort of super breed of cow. Like, and they're real big.
Whoa. So like Okja.
Yeah, I'm going to say humongous heifer.
Right, locking that in for Dave. Here's Thank who you. Wrote the answers. White spoofed Macy was Dave Warnocky.
Wow. Dave, congratulations.
You
want to
talk me through the process?
Thank you so much. I'll talk you through it. I tried it. I was going to write white spotted, but for some reason spot... auto-corrected to spoof or spoof. Wow. And I was like, I know what I want to call this.
Wow.
So it was part AI.
Yeah, exactly. I outsourced.
Yeah, co-written by Mr. Jobs and his famous algorithm.
The white spoofed Macy.
The Adelaide Cows. That was the house.
I forgot about Adelaide Cows.
Do you remember there was an old ad where the... Because the Adelaide Crows are a football team in Australia, and there was an ad where the guy painting the logos on the field misspelt it.
Oh.
So there's this whole ad campaign about the Adelaide Cows.
That's a good
campaign. I can't remember what it was advertising, but yeah.
Probably a pie or something.
Yeah, probably a pie. Probably a pie or a beer.
Insurance.
Or a Toyota Camry. The Bahama Brahma, that was the house.
Wow.
In particular, Betsy from California wrote that one. And I just looked it up. So you said it sounds like it could be a breed of cow. And a Brahman is a cow. So it's one N off being an actual.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, Brahma is a Hindu god. So the Bahama Brahma is.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's a lot going on there, and it's all good stuff.
Really good. Wow. Well, so can I get a point anyway for guessing it?
No.
Okay.
The house will get a point there. But you will get a point because Dave picked your answer, the humongous heifer.
Oh, it felt so real.
Meaning you want to talk us through your process there?
Well, humongous is one of my favorite words. Heifer, another one of my favorite words. Yeah. So I either had to put them together.
Bit of alliteration there. Can't go wrong. That means the correct answer. You were on the right track early. Lexi, it is Florida Cracker.
No.
I feel so pissed off. I thought Dave wrote Cracker.
No, I'm more of a spoof kind of guy.
I mean, if you want to bring it back, you could use the Florida Cracker cattle as maybe the emblem.
That's awesome. This guy's a real Florida Cracker cow.
So that brings us up to question number four. And this one is by Tim Kaiser from Minnesota. And he's asking a Minnesota-based question too. Love a bit of local lingo. Tim's question is, what is the name of the cheeseburger invented in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the cheese is injected directly into the meat patty?
Oh my God.
delicious.
What is the name of the cheeseburger invented in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the cheese is injected straight into the meat? While you're writing your answers, here's a little bit more info about the Florida Cracker. According to Betsy, the Florida Cracker cattle are a heritage breed originating from the cattle brought to the Americas by the Spanish in the 1500s. According to FloridaMemory.com, the origin of the term Florida Cracker is somewhat in dispute. Some say it refers to the cracking sound made by the whips used by early white settlers to herd their cattle. Others say the term comes from the use of cracked corn in making moonshine, a common activity on the Florida frontier. What you think? And while you're still writing your answers, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll tell you the other ingredient for my cake.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
It is an olive oil grapefruit citrus cake.
Olive oil? We were not going to ever guess that.
Yeah,
olive oil grapefruit citrus cake.
So
that doesn't sound like it should be good.
And well, it will be good. Trust me, it's my new signature cake.
Have you found it?
Yeah.
I found it from a chef that I quite like, Molly Bars, cookbook. And you use olive oil and Greek yogurt as the two fats in the cake.
All right. Your answers are in. So here's question number four. What is the name of the cheeseburger invented in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the cheese is injected directly into the meat? The Camemberger?
Oh. That makes me hungry.
Great freaking cheese to be inside a burger.
The Smack Jack?
Ooh.
Juicy Lucy, the Dakota Dripper, or the Sweaty Woman?
Wow. Wow. All beautiful delicacies.
Sweaty Woman. What was number four before Sweaty Woman?
The Dakota Dripper.
Dakota.
Trying to figure out why a Minnesota thing would be named after Dakota. Is Dakota in Minnesota? Dakota, Minnesota. Oh, my God. That makes sense.
That's not true at all.
Where is Dakota?
North Dakota and South Dakota are states.
It's a state. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, but when you're like, oh, Dakota, Minnesota, it makes sense because it rhymes. Anything that rhymes must be within the other.
It's true. Rhymes are facts in this world, I would say.
Rhymes are facts.
Rhymes overall. Any of your little geography books?
If it fits, you must acquit, you know? It makes sense.
So, Dave, it sounds like you've got a bit of an inkling here, a bit of a feeling.
That this is going to be one of those days. No, I'm thinking that just because I find it appetizing doesn't mean it's probably right, but the Camemberger does sound like something I want to eat. We had
Smack Jack.
We had
Juicy Lucy, Dakota Dripper, Sweaty Woman.
Sweaty Woman.
Well, you know, she's walking down the street. That is quite a perspiring thing to do.
Power walking down the street, yeah.
That's the least appetizing sounding of them. And none of them sound that appetizing, but the Sweaty Woman, I was trying to think, you know, like Adelaide has the Abomination, which is like their specialty, which is what they call their version of the halal snack pack, I think.
Yes.
Or something like that. But Sweaty Woman. I don't know if I'd personally eat a Sweaty Woman.
But they have always weird names. Like they're all these like little American delicacies that like are across the country. I think they all have like these little odd names.
Yeah,
they're
true.
All proud of them as well. They're so proud of them.
Dave's a big fan of a Vermont special.
Oh, Vermont.
Oh, Vermont, sorry.
My favorite US state is Vermont, Alexi, one of the least populous ones, but they are famous for the creamy, which I haven't tried yet, but
what's a creamy?
It's basically like a soft serve, imagine that, but way creamier somehow.
Wow, okay, I like that.
He's never actually had it, and he's never been to Vermont,
But it sounds beautiful. It looks beautiful.
I guess I've never been to Gary, and I'm wearing Gary merch right now. I love Gary so much.
He loves Gary, Indiana.
But I'm finally going to hopefully go to Gary, Indiana this year, Alexi.
Wow. Wow. I hope that comes true.
Thank you so much. And
I hope that I'll get a creamy this year. That's all I'm saying.
I'd love to join you in Vermont for a creamy.
We'll fly in, get a creamy, fly out.
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering if Dakota Dripper is either a red herring or the name... It's been put in there as like something that's notable because it's not even from Dakota.
You know
what I mean? Like, am I overthinking it here? Camembert, is that a popular cheese in the States? I don't know. I think they more prefer the orange stuff.
Yeah, they like Jack, which is an option here. Smack Jack.
Smack Jack, yeah.
Jack, they love Jack like cheese.
Processed. For a burger, they love processed cheese.
Yeah.
Like a cheese slice, you know?
But Camembert,
American style cheese.
But you could melt a Camembert nicely and then put into some sort of syringe.
That's true.
But Dakota Dripper, I mean, it's speaking to me. I'm going to say Dakota Dripper. I think it's one of those, there'll be a strange story behind it.
Okay, I'm putting in the Dakota Dripper. I think, is Monterey Jack the big, that's one of the big American ones?
That's
maybe?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, Dakota Dripper for Dave.
I'm going to lock in Juicy Lucy.
And Juicy Lucy
for
Alexi. Would you both eat a burger like this? If you're in town, say you're in Minnesota.
And they said, this is the specialty. It's like a beef patty with cheese injected. Hell yes, I would.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love cheese on burgers.
My tummy is gurgling.
Well, you've got a whole cake behind you, sir.
I know, no.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. The Camemberger. That was the house.
It's good. It's a great name.
Great suggestion.
Definitely the most appetizing of the five.
Yeah, the Smack Jack. That was Dave.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. Because you could smack a burger.
Oh, yeah.
You could smack
a bun on a burger.
I was thinking that smack's like a nickname for heroin, which you inject.
Oh,
and then Jack cheese. Maybe I overthought it a bit here.
No, I think it's fantastic.
Injecting cheese, that's sort of where I went with.
Love it. The sweaty woman, that was Tim, aka the house.
Tim, you're a sick puppy, brother.
Tim, what were you thinking?
You're a sick puppy, mate.
What have we said? We said the Dakota Dripper. That was what Dave went for. That was Alexi.
Oh, great work, mate.
A Dakota Dripper could also be a sweaty woman as well, I guess.
And the correct answer was Juicy Lucy. So maximum points for Alexi there.
And let it be revealed now. I knew the answer. I've fucking eaten the Juicy Lucy. I've made the Juicy Lucy at home.
What do you mean?
I've made one. I've eaten one from my own hands that I've birthed into this world.
That's incredible. What was it like?
Oh, it was cracker ass, man.
It's funny. I worked so hard to avoid... Because you're a cinephile. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Registered. And I had to work hard to find a movie that I thought you wouldn't know. But I didn't think that you're also a burgerphile.
I'm a foodie.
You're a foodie.
Let it be known. I'm a person who appreciates the culinary arts and form.
That brings us up to question number 5. And this comes from Simon from Seaford in Victoria. In 2015, a student journalist for the University of Oklahoma's newspaper leaked what secret about Jack White? What secret about Jack White was leaked in 2015?
And how would the student newspaper know it? Wow, amazing.
While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Juicy Lucy's from thrilllist.com. Don't know if I'm saying that right. Unlike every other food served in a restaurant, the Juicy Lucy comes with a warning not to eat it. Dave, I feel like if we finally get to America for a Do Go On tour, our other podcast... We gotta tick off some of these food things.
Juicy, and you're not supposed to eat it. So it's in Minnesota.
In the Twin Cities, yeah.
Okay.
But it says, it comes with a warning not to eat it, at least not at first. And this is what the waitress told the author here. You boys know you need to wait a minute or two, or you'll get burned.
Oh, right.
Wow.
So this is at Matt's Bar, one of the restaurants that claims to be the originator of it. It's one of those classic ones where two different... restaurants say they came up with it.
I had heard as well that when someone bit into it the first time, they're like, that's one Juicy Lucy.
That is right. That's what Matt's Bar claims is the origin story.
Wow.
And they also spell it J-U-C-Y.
Juicy.
So the other place spells Lucy wrong, L-U-I-C-Y.
The other place is the 5-8 Club. And when they order it there, they also get a warning from the server saying, give it a little time before you bite or it'll bite back.
Oh,
not a bad little line that.
Yeah.
But they do spell Lucy, Juicy and Lucy correctly.
Imagine having to say that 70 times in one shift.
Yeah.
God, the light would really go out from behind your eyes when saying it.
So apparently it is a Minneapolis creation, and it's unique to the gopher state. I like that that's what they're called.
Like gopher is in the creature, or like go for, like let's go for this?
I mean, it's probably both, but it's written like the creature.
Wow, okay. I'd love to see one of those creatures in person.
I'd love to see it, yeah, pop up from a burrow, like just...
like in Caddyshack?
Hey!
I would go nuts to see a little head pop out of a burrow one day.
Just start cheering. Hell yeah, brother.
It's funny, do it. We should be feeling like that when we see a possum crawl along a power line.
Oh, but you know, that's old hat for us. Yeah, I've seen it many a time.
I remember when I first went to America, I saw squirrels running around and I was going, oh my God, it's the Chippendale Rescue Rangers. And Americans were not... They were like, what are you talking about? They're just little pests. Well, what are you talking about? These are the heroes here to save the day. So the Juicy Lucy involves essentially combining two thin patties around a ball of American cheese and sealing the corners. It's delicious when you put it like that. So that when the burger is cooked, the cheese inside gets melty and gooey and explodes in your mouth when you break through. There is no dispute that Juicy Lucy's burger origin is Cedar Avenue in South Minneapolis, but where on Cedar Avenue is a whole other story. Matt's Bar is one that claims it, explaining that it came up with the burger in 1954 when a customer asked for two hamburger patties with a slice of cheese in the middle. And as legend has it, the customer took a bite and exclaimed, "That's one Juicy Lucy."
Wow. It's so fun. Like, back in the day, you hear about all these things being invented because there's one guy's like, "Yeah, you got nothing on the menu that appeals to me. Can I get two fucking patties and just cook some shit in the middle of them? Put it on a bun?" Like, every food is invented that way. It's like some annoying customer who doesn't like anything on the menu.
Yeah, or they've run out of an ingredient or something. You hear of those sometimes. We were meant to make the salad with... this kind of cheese, we didn't have any.
I heard that's how nachos were invented. They just ran out of tortillas and went, or whatever, you know, for wraps and went, oh, well, why don't we just use these sort of chippies?
Yeah. And, you know, it's that genius is 1% inspiration, 99% chippies.
Yeah.
So apparently the reason they lost the I and they now spell juicy wrong was because the original sign had a typo and they never got another sign made. So they just rolled with it. And Matt's offers a warning saying, remember, if it's spelled correctly, you might just be eating a shameless ripoff.
Oh, wow.
So they say the incorrect spelling is how you know it's right. The Juicy Lucy origin story from 5-8 Club is a little murkier. Apparently, there's just a bit on their website that has a blue ribbon that says first on it, and it says, "The Juicy Lucy, a homegrown hero." So it feels like they weren't really even... They're not out there claiming it that
quite
as hard.
Yeah, they're just saying it's from this area, kind of.
So, but apparently they will... maybe that's just trying to avoid court. They're very litigious over there, I've heard.
Mm. Yeah, they love to sue the pants off people.
All right, here is question number 5. In 2015, a student journalist for the University of Oklahoma's newspaper leaked what Jack White-related secret? His tour manager's top-secret guacamole recipe? He hasn't brushed his teeth since he was 20?
Oh.
Where Jack White gets his hair dyed jet black? Jack White had voted Republican in the last 3 elections? Or he only eats from the 4 basic food groups as set out by Paulie Shore and Encino Man? Milk Duds, Dairy Group, Sweet Tarts, Fruit Group, Burritos, Meat Group, and Corn Nuts for Vegetable Group. And of course, he always washes it down by wheezing the juice.
Wow, I love that. So, I love Paulie Shore style humor, so. And maybe Jack White's a right age where he thinks that's funny to say. Maybe.
So you've got the secret guacamole recipe, hasn't brushed his teeth, where he gets his hair dyed, that he voted Republican, or he is on the Paulie Shore diet.
Oh, I think I'm either going most rock and roll or least rock and roll.
Mm.
And I would say least rock and roll, probably voting Republican, because that would be really shitty to find that out. But I'm all...
Would that be shitty? You know, about 50% of my audience is Republican.
Well,
that can't be true.
Well, sucked in, dude. I think it just sounds incredibly un-rock and roll, so maybe that's it. But I'm also thinking,
what's the most rock and roll then?
Honestly, the most rock and roll probably not brushing your teeth since you're 20.
He's an odd guy, isn't he?
Republicans big teeth brushes.
That's the one thing I agree with them on.
Dental care. But no dental plan.
I'm going to go, he doesn't brush his teeth, because maybe he does some weird thing where he's like, oh, yeah, I have some new technology that I use. I use a mouthwash that does it, or someone else brushes his teeth for him.
That's the technicality. Someone else brushes them.
And I've heard that Brad Pitt reeks. I've heard he stinks because he doesn't like use deodorant or something. Like, they're all weird.
You never say stinks or reeks when you're saying beautifully.
No. Oh, he reeks heavenly to me. He reeks of heaven and grapefruit.
Pungent odor. In a good way.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go, he don't brush. He don't brush.
Okay, he don't
locking
brush.
That in.
And the others were Republican, dyes hair black.
Guacamole recipe.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Or Encino Man diet.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe he does, but do you have to go to the same person to dye your hair? But like, he'd be on tour all the time. Mm. Surely anyone can... Black, it's just the same everywhere, isn't it?
Well, in his defense, I have been going to the same hairdresser since I was 15 years old, and I never will go to anyone else.
Wow.
What's his name or their name?
Their name is Angie. Shout out to Angie. One of my favorite people. Love you, Angie. I go to her garage in Croydon Park, and she snips my hair.
That's turned me into thinking black hair. You're right. People do pick someone, and he's like a pretty eccentric kind of guy. And I know that, you know, maybe he's on tour. Maybe he charts a flight back to his hometown, gets the hair dye, continues on the tour.
All right, locking that in for Dave. Here's who wrote the answers. The Paulie Shore diet, that was the house.
Wonderful workhouse.
Voting Republican, that was Alexi.
Yeah, I was being quite nasty. Oh. I was trying to jive you into a direction there.
Wow. I don't know how I can trust you ever again.
Yes, I'm wily. I'm wily as.
Well, wily Alexi, you fell for Dave's.
Yep, looks like you outwiled yourself, my friend.
I slithered down the wrong hole today.
He hasn't brushed his teeth since he was 20. Was Dave Warnicki?
I thought and it sounded like he would do some sort of weird new age thing for sure.
Yeah,
Dave is on the board. That's your first point, Dave.
Yes! Tell me I can double my score now. Come on.
You can, but you didn't.
Oh, no.
You picked the one written by Simon, aka The House. I mean, the correct answer is the leak was his tour manager's top secret guacamole recipe.
Fuck. That's wild.
Wow.
So, score update. After 5 rounds, we've got Dave on 1 point, The House on 4 points, but out in front on 5 points, it's Alexi.
Wow.
This feels electrifying to be me right now.
Can we also say Simon is on the same score as me as well? I suppose his answer, he's on 1.
Yeah, well, if you treat it that way, then quite a few people are on equal to you.
Damn it. But they've got no chance to score anymore.
That's true. So hopefully, they're all one-offs.
If I can get one more point, I will have beaten.
Betsy's also on the board because of Bahama Brahma.
Bahama Brahma.
And Susie's on because of the handheld alligator. So,
oh, of course. What's her name? Scottsdale Sues.
Sacramento Sues. So we're at 2 questions left here. Here's question number 6. This one comes from Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbor in New York.
Jim Bates.
He's probably, I think he's the most read out question writer. He's prolific.
Good on him.
In the question writer. He just writes great questions. And Jim's question this time is, what happened between March 10 and March 21, 2021 in Taiwan? Something happened there, obviously something noteworthy enough to make news. What happened between March 10 and March 21, an 11-day period in 2021 in Taiwan? While you're writing those answers, let me tell you more about Jack White's leak. According to Vulture, a student journalist for the University of Oklahoma's newspaper leaked White's concert rider and his tour manager's guacamole recipe went viral, as well as White's perceived hatred of bananas. Many fans and detractors used it as more evidence that he's a demanding prima donna. In an open letter titled, "For God's Sakes," White lashed out at all the sites covering this story, pointing out that the rider exists to take care of his crew, venue workers, and guests. Quote, "What you're looking for is someone throwing a tantrum because they didn't get their brown M&Ms. Sorry to disappoint," he wrote. "Can I go back to making music now? No? Okay. Crochet it is." That does now kind of sound like a tantrum, Jack. All right, answers are in for question number 6, our penultimate question. Is that, wow. That means second last, is that right?
It does. Absolutely. And I think finding that out, when you hear the word penultimate and then later you find out that it means second last, not most ultimate,
yeah,
is a really key part in becoming a grown-up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think I remember, you know, making that journey.
Mm.
And it was my penultimate time using it incorrectly. I used it one more time just to test the waters.
One last slip up. All right, here's question 6. What happened between March 10 and March 21, 2021 in Taiwan? Keanu Reeves was there on holiday. The excitement caused incredible traffic delays as star spotters swamped the sweeps. swamped the streets trying to get pictures. A limited edition BTS sneaker led to riots when supplies ran out. Hundreds of people legally changed their name to Salmon. A man broke the record for longest ice skating session, or the Taiwanese parliament was officially suspended as a cool down period after daily fistfights had broken out on the floor of the legislature every day for a week.
Wowza, wowza.
Wow. So one of the there were two that were quite close together, and I thought they were one at first, but they're not. So
Keanu Reeves and BTS, both those two? No.
No, it was the Salmon one.
Oh, the Salmon one. So hundreds of people legally changed their name to Salmon. That was one. And then a man broke the record for longest ice skating session.
Wow. And what was his name?
Salmon.
Oh, God. Okay. I'll never know. Because if he broke the longest ice skating session and his name was Salmon, I could understand why many people would want to change their name.
To their new hero.
Wow. Dave, I hand you the floor. Please begin to speak.
I'm sorry that it's me going first because I have no idea. Every now and then you do see like world news. It's like, check out what's going on in Botswana's parliament or something in there.
Isn't
like,
it funny that, and you think, it's an overseas parliament.
Exactly.
They get up to pretty wacky things overseas.
That's all they do.
I'll be honest, that's the one that's captured my attention for the same reasons as well.
Yeah, and it also feels like date-based. I'm like, why are people changing their name to Salmon for an 11-day period? Unless it's like for some sort of festival or something. And Keanu's there. And
maybe they just got that Salmon dance song for the Chemical Brothers.
Yes.
Great song.
Okay, I'm thinking Parliament. With apologies to any Taiwanese listeners if this is not how your Parliament behaves.
All right, locking that in for Dave.
I was also thinking Parliament. But now that Dave has put it in my mind that it might be a rude thing to choose, I'm now also grappling that maybe I should pick something else. It's the period, though, that 10-day period or whatever. It makes so much sense that that's like a build-up of things. But then also, if you're a politician, you're going into work to get your ass beat every day after it's happened like... honestly, day one, you're like, okay, fuck, that'll never happen again. You come day two and you get smacked in the head again. Day three, are you going back?
All right, back again.
I might just go something else instead. I'm going to go to... BTS seems like a long time. 10 days is too long for that to happen.
That's what I thought too.
I am going to go Salmon. Oh, shit. I know that's wrong. But I'm going to look in Salmon. There's no way.
I also want it to be right, though. Come on.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Keanu Reeves on holiday. That was Alexi Toliopoulos. And just classic cinephile stuff, that.
Yes, Keanu Reeves. Only the deep cuts with me, Keanu Reeves.
A limited edition BTS sneaker led to riots. That was Jim, aka The House.
Jim, congratulations.
A man breaking the record for longest ice skating session. That was Dave Warnocky.
Wow.
I know Dave loves Guinness World Records. That's why I suspected it might have been his.
You got me. Guilty. Guilty as charged.
The Taiwanese parliament being suspended for a cool down. That was also Jim, aka The House. Meaning the correct answer is hundreds of people legally changed their name to Salmon.
Stop.
What the fuck?
Stop. No. You're joking.
Yes.
Well, I think we can say the best man and the best answer won.
Oh, my God. Sorry. How is that possible, though? Okay, we'll find out.
Find out in a second.
I would say Jim was a great question writer because Dave and I were both so sure that was a parliament thing. It sounded so real. In my head, I'm like, I think I saw that on the news.
Jim is very good at this.
Jesus, Jim.
Great work, Jim.
God.
He's put Sackett's Harbour on the map for me as well. I've never heard it outside of the context
of Jim.
Of Jim.
Wow. I will look up Sackett's Harbour right now.
I feel like I want to visit.
Where is it?
New York.
Sackett's Harbour. It sounds beautiful.
Oh, the first picture that I saw when it was of Jim? Sackett's Harbour, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful
sunset. Oh, yeah.
Are you seeing that sunset?
Yeah, that's magic.
Oh, my God. Sackett's Harbour, indeed.
Wow.
Wow. Gorgeous place, New York.
Is it near the Big Apple?
Nope.
Is it upstate New York?
Yeah, it's a long way away.
Oh,
yeah,
right. There you go.
It's on Lake Ontario.
Honestly,
it's getting close to Canada.
Yeah, not that far. Well, quite far because America's big, but not that far from the creamy heights of Vermont.
Oh, Vermont borders New York.
And the population was 1,450 at the 2010 census. So,
wow.
Jim he could probably realistically get everyone in Sackett's Harbour to listen to this podcast.
Oh, then we could do a live episode in Sackett's Harbour.
I would love to be the guest. I hope I become a celebrity in Sackett's.
If he fulfills our dream of getting every single person in that town to listen, we will come to Sackett's Harbour. How do you feel about that, Jim?
Jimmy there.
Jim, answer me.
Jim, you're not listening anymore. Jim, stop listening.
Turned off. We never hear from Jim again. Please don't come to my town.
Yeah, he doesn't want us.
All right, so we're up to the ultimate question here. Am I saying that right?
Yes, ultimate. Love it.
The ultimate question.
And this one comes from someone you both know, Cameron James.
Cameron James, as I live and breathe, my partner, ready to betray me, I'm sure.
So I messaged, because I get very nervous when you're on, Alexi, trying to figure out a movie that you might not have heard of. So I messaged Cam and I said, I've got Alexi coming on the show. Any suggestions for a movie he wouldn't have heard of? And he said, God, that's a tough one, lol. But he gave me three options and I picked one of those. Are you ready?
Wow. Gosh, I hope so.
So,
he does know my knowledge very well, so he might have helped you out.
Fantastic. The question is, what is the synopsis of the 1970 film The Traveling Executioner?
Imagine if I'd seen it.
I've never heard of it, so he's done well.
Done it. What is the synopsis of the 1970 film The Traveling Executioner? While your answers are being written, here's some more info about the salmon incident. And this is according to Jim. These people wanted to take advantage of a sushi chain promotion that offered free sushis to guests whose names included the word salmon. This phenomenon was dubbed the Salmon Chaos. According to the BBC, officials have issued a plea asking people to stop visiting government offices to request the name change. The restaurant offered an all-you-can-eat sushi meal to anyone with the name Salmon on their ID card. Unimpressed officials said the rush was wasting government time. The offer began when sushi restaurant chain Akindo Sushiro said anyone with the Chinese characters in their name could get free food for themselves and five friends. It led to many people, it says dozens, but I've heard hundreds as well, led to dozens or hundreds of people requesting a name change. The Taipei Times reported adding that applicants pay around $3 for a new ID card and registration certificate. One student said she had changed her name to Kyo Salmon Rice Bowl, but planned to change it back the next day. Other salmon-themed names included Salmon Prince, Meteor Salmon King, and Salmon Fried Rice, according to AFP News Agency. Two others managed to eat around $460 worth of sushi in one go and posted online, quote, I do not think we will want to eat salmon again for a while. They have since tightened up the rules so names can only be changed for more genuine reasons, though I don't know if you'll find a more genuine reason than free sushi. So that makes sense to you? I know you're busy writing your answers, but it was for free food.
Basically, yeah. I mean,
did you? Some of the names that they came up with were pretty fun, I thought. Salmon Prince.
I worship the Salmon Prince.
Salmon Fried Rice, but my favourite, Meteor Salmon King.
Meteor. Amazing.
All right, your answers are in. So here is the final question. Oh, and I should say, this is worth triple points.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my Godfather.
So it truly is still anyone's game.
I still have a chance.
Wow. Dave, if you get maximum points, you leap to the lead here.
Woohoo! Wow, so Sacramento Sues is the only one out of the game.
Yeah, sorry, Sacramento Sues. And Simon.
All you need to do, Dave, is get Alexi to pick yours and for you to pick the correct one and you win. All right.
And what do I win? A new car?
Oh my God, yes. That was going to be the secret surprise at the end.
Ooh, a 1988 Suzuki Swift.
All right, here's the final question. What is the synopsis of the 1970 film The Traveling Executioner? An emotionless man travels around the United States, letting workers for a large conglomerate know that they are no longer required. His whole worldview is turned upside down when he is asked to fire his long-lost daughter. That's option one. Option two, Stacy Keach is electrifying as Jonas Candide, an ex-carny who in 1918 travels around the Bayou executing people. At $100 a head, he renders his services with loving care until he is seduced by a woman marked for his portable electric chair. It's option two.
Okay.
Option three, Jessica King wants nothing more than a simple life. But when, due to a mix-up, a time-traveling hitman has her name on his list, she must prove she isn't the one responsible for muddling up the space-time continuum. And she better do it fast. That's option three. Option four, in medieval Europe, Gustav is the last of the executioners, a group of anonymous men that perform sanctioned beheadings. Gustav finds light in his dark existence by playing the lute and enchanting maidens as he stoically travels across countries, lopping off heads at the king's behest. Well, finally, Don Waddle is the hottest prospect in college football. Nicknamed the Traveling Executioner, he is predicted to go number one in the upcoming NFL draft. But will his promising future come unstuck when he receives an ominous note from an anonymous source that reads, I know who you did last summer.
Wow.
And Don name, Waddle.
Don Waddle? Some of the names are great. Stacy Keach?
Yes. Stacy Keach.
Wow. Okay, I'm playing a different game here now, Dave, because I'm trying to think what Cameron thinks my movie knowledge doesn't have.
Ah, yes.
So, okay. I'm thinking a different game. Did Cameron write one of the answers?
No, he didn't write. I wrote both the house options.
Okay. That makes it more difficult. Because Stacy Keach is an actor that I love, and I feel like that might have been Cameron putting a Stacy Keach in there to entice me over. Now I don't know.
Think I've heard of Stacy Keach.
Me either.
Wow. Stacy Keach is a lovely actor. I love Stacy Keach. He's in a movie called Fat City.
That sounds good.
Well, I don't know. Cameron, he knows I like American stuff, so maybe it's a European, maybe European shit is what he's going to pick me off. Because one of my areas of expertise, I would say, is 1970s Americana. Now I'm thinking, what was the first one again?
The first one was about an emotionless man traveling the US, letting workers for a large conglomerate know that they are no longer required.
Fuck, that sounds like a movie I would really like. I'm imagining Walter Matthau as a guy pissing everybody off. Ay, ay, ay. What were the other... Can you go through them again, please?
Yep, so you had the emotional... That first one, the guy, the firer. Then we had Stacy Keach electrifying as Jonas Candide, an ex-carny who travels around the Bayou executing people for $100 a head.
Fuck, can I tell you, if you don't know who Stacy Keach is, he's perfect to play a carny that kills people. He's a real tough looking guy.
Right. Then we had Jessica King, who wanted the simple life, but got mixed up with a time traveling hitman with a name on the list. She had to prove herself not responsible quickly. Then you had Gustav in medieval Europe, the last of a group of anonymous men performing sanctioned beheadings.
Sanctioned beheadings.
He played the lute. Then we had Don Waddle, aka the Traveling Executioner, who's predicted to go number one in the upcoming NFL draft.
Wow. Okay. Stacy Keach keeps speaking to me because I love him. But I think the first one is the one that sounds like a movie to me, but I don't know. I'm really thrown. Sorry, everyone's seen me have a breakdown because my knowledge has truly been tested. And I feel like I need to get it right. Yeah, and I'm just all over the place.
So let you know, Lex, but your reputation is very much on the line here.
God, it does. It honestly feels like my reputation is on the line. I feel sick to my stomach right now.
If you don't get this right, you'll have to pivot and become a full-time foodie. Cinema will be close to you.
As soon as I get this wrong, I'm going to turn around and gobble the cake in one gulp. I'm going to go option one. Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. Yikes, locking that in for Alexi.
Oh, gosh. Well, the name Stacy Keach is talking to me as well, but I've never heard it before. I just love it. Stacy Keach.
He's a wonderful actor. He played in the Australian film Road Games.
Okay, thank you so much.
Is he from Fat City?
He's from Fat City.
Fat City! You should do that another week on the show. It's just such a great name. Okay, Fat City. No, that's nothing to do with anything. The Stoic Lute player.
Yes.
That was speaking to me.
Okay.
Can I hear it one more time?
In medieval Europe, Gustav is the last of the executioners, a group of anonymous men that perform sanctioned beheadings. Gods. He finds light in his dark existence by playing the lute and enchanting maidens as he stoically travels across countries, lopping off heads at the king's behest.
Oh, boy.
But are you travelling to other countries to lop people's heads off at the king's behest?
Oy, oy, oy.
That one's got me. I think maybe Lexi and I are both picking movies that we'd want to see. That's the one of them I'd want to see the most.
All right, lock that in?
Yes, please.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Don Waddle. that was the house.
I love it.
Wow.
Respect to you, sir.
I was a big. I liked the name Don Waddle very much.
Did you invent Don Waddle?
I invented Don Waddle.
What inspired Don Waddle?
I don't know. It just came to me. It was like one of those moments of divine intervention.
Absolutely.
Wow. The Lord was speaking to you on that day.
Your magnum opus is Don Waddle.
Don Waddle. My other one was the Jessica King trying to clear her name with the time traveling hitman.
Ooh. Shit. Yeah, yeah. I think time travel is not that often used in movies. Right. So whenever you time travel, go, well, probably not that.
Yeah, yeah. And it would have been called the time traveling executioner.
Fuck. I'd watch that. It's going to be Stacey Keach, I'm sure of it now.
Then we had, in medieval Europe, Gustav is last of the executioners. This is one Dave went for, and that was Alexi.
Oh, well done. Yeah, you wrote the movie I want to watch.
Yeah.
That means, Alexi.
Fuck. You gotta, no.
You were either right or Stacey Keach was right. You went for an emotionless man who travelled around the United States letting workers go. That was written by Dave Warnicki. The correct answer is Stacey Keach.
Damn you, Stacey Keach.
Wow.
While I calculate the scores,
God, Dave, you made the movie. I'm like, oh, God, 1970s? I'm already like, when can I buy the Blu-ray of this one?
When I read it too, I'm like, that is good stuff.
Yeah, when it's The Long Lost Daughter, I was like, I've got something here.
And it's not that far off the little twist in the Stacey Keach movie, which is he goes around killing people. Yours goes around.
Yeah.
And he goes around killing people until a woman seduces him who he's meant to kill. It's not quite the same as the daughter, but similar idea.
That sort of challenge to, I can
do it with anonymous people.
I can kill or
fire
anyone and then you know someone.
Oh, but I care about this person.
Yeah, that's right.
God. It's got two of the best named men of the 1970s cinema, Stacey Keach and Bud Cort.
Oh, yeah. Bud Cort, so good. The only person I recognized was about fifth build.
Do you
recognize any of the actors?
Well, I know Bud Cort quite well. And Emmett Walsh, that's who you were thinking of. Yeah,
I know Emmett Walsh.
Wonderful. John Bottoms, great actors. Lot of ugly men in this film. One of my favorite types of genres. Films with lots of ugly character actors.
Are you familiar with Jack Smite's work? He's the director. I think
not off the top of my head. Jack Smite, what have they done? Oh, I've seen one of his films, No Way to Treat a Lady. I've seen that recently. It's a great little weird comedy thriller starring Rod Steiger and George Segal. Very strange movie.
So this one, Tony Mastrioni, a critic, says, in the end, the picture simply collapses from the weight of its own excesses. He didn't love it. But it hasn't been, there's not a lot of reviews out there for it. Not enough for the Rotten Tomatoes to give it a splat or not. So maybe, Alexi, any chance you could watch it before you come on next?
I think I will. Let's see. Well, you know,
It's got your man in there.
Yeah,
I thought you would have seen anything, Keach.
And I wonder how Cameron came across this movie.
It's funny how I realised afterwards that I sort of gave it away. I said me and Dave both said we hadn't heard of Stacey Keach. And
that's, I know, that's what made me think I was going for it.
And we wrote the other three options apart from yours and the real one. So
I almost went for it then, but I was just like, oh, maybe he just copied and pasted it from somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, he's, Cam started you one, you've done another, and gone, oh, whatever, I'll
take
just put
the
name
from
in.
That. Yeah. All right, so the scores are in third place on the podium with 4 points. It's Dave Warnicki.
Congratulations.
Just happy
Beth.
To be here, but on the podium. So thank you so much.
So great. You got anything coming up people should find apart from obviously your podcast, Do Go On and Book Cheat?
I just check out Do Go On and Book Cheat and just know I love you all.
If you like trivia type stuff and you haven't heard it before, Dave and I do a podcast called Do Go On, and it's about a different topic every week, sort of a deep dive into a certain topic from history.
And we might pick Stacey Keach because I'm intrigued.
Good Lord. Wow, I'd love to be a guest on the Stacey Keach episode.
Definitely get you on.
Surely be the most downloaded in history.
Alexi's been on a few episodes as well. He told us about the Guinness World Book of Records.
I did The Matrix as well, the history of the making of The Matrix.
You love Keanu, this underground actor.
Yeah.
In second place on 5 points, it's The House. And I also recommend listening to Do Go On. And that means out in front on 9 points, it's Alexi Toliopoulos. You
Thank
did
you
it.
So much.
Well done.
Wow.
Congratulations.
I'm basking in the applause.
And your prize is a cake made of grapefruit and olive oil.
Wow. There's a few other ingredients to fill out the rest of that.
Sounds
that
very sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a fried juice rather, I guess.
Do you want to point people in any particular direction in life or towards your work?
In life, please steer away from the conservative side of politics and into the viewings of Finding Jesus on YouTube. It's me, it's Cameron James. We investigate mysteries. We solve one of the internet's greatest unsolved mysteries with the help of the Auntie Donna crew. It's on Grouse House on YouTube, Finding Jesus.
So
and then I'll do some more podcast stuff down the line. But stay tuned. My podcast feed's Total Reboot. There'll be some stuff in there pretty soon. But I got some more exciting things coming up later.
That's very exciting. Grouse House, did you have anything to do with their new show that was filmed here at the Stupid Old? About it's called like the most annoying game show ever or something?
No, I had nothing to do with it. But I have watched and it's very funny.
Yeah, so good.
It's really stressful.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be a great guest on it.
I would have an anxiety attack doing it, I think. I would break down completely. It's really funny and crazy.
Anything else you two want to tell people before we go?
Once again, please steer away from conservative politics. Do not fall for the traps online, trying to ensnare young men through bitterness into turning against their fellow people
I think
on Earth.
Matt likes to have a balanced podcast, so I'll have to step in here and say, actually, conservative, it's the right way.
Yeah, get ensnared.
Exactly.
Whoa, okay, now that's unbalanced because you've got 2-1.
Okay, but I also should say don't get ensnared.
Okay. All right, well, don't listen to this guy just because he's the host.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. And please stick around for the post-credits scenes. We got some great stuff of Alexi working away in the kitchen. Thanks so much for joining us. Cheers for tuning in, everyone, to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Oh, that was awesome. Hey, Google, stop alarm, please. Okay. Hey, Google.
No authority in
stop
your own
alarm.
House.
Stop alarm. All right, it worked.
It does not respect your authority, Alexi.
You know, he has been showing some signs of life recently, and in that life, complete and utter insolence. Okay, I'm gonna go check the cake.
This is very exciting for us. So Alexi's taking his headphones off. He can't hear us, but we are gonna watch him on a webcam. Wait, he's getting the full mitts. Is he getting the other mitts out? Oh yeah, he's putting on the mitts. Got one of those one pieces that hold each hand. He's got the cake out.
It is so clever to use the mitts. I've been brought unstuck a few times lately trying to improv.
I'm a tea towel user.
Yeah,
whatever's hanging on the oven.
Yeah, tea towel. I'll use a tea towel because they don't necessarily envelope your hands.
No, and if it gets
you get a little nick on the side of the pizza frying pan.
If it gets really, really hot, you're doing something like 220 plus or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. You got to fold that tea towel over about 9 times.
What are you cooking that goes up to 220?
Well, I had to do a thing. Have you ever had an iron... Is it iron? Cast iron pan? You've got to... basically, you've got to coat it in oil to create like a base coat, and then you put it in the oven at the highest it will go, which was 250.
Oh, right.
And then bake it for an hour.
We're talking Celsius?
Celsius, 250.
Yeah, right.
Alexi's back.
250? That's hot.
Yeah.
What are you cooking at 250?
I was, I think you are basting an iron skillet.
Oh, wow.
You
done, I've
one
done
of
that. Yeah, I love to use cast iron, yeah.
Mm, I
love
the best.
I love the word skillet.
Oh, it's wonderful. We call it a fucking fry pan here or whatever. It sucks.
Yeah.
Skillet.
Is that what a skillet is? It's a fry pan.
basically.
Pretty much, yeah. That's maybe a little bit deeper.
Is that what you cook grits on?
You could, yeah, of course.
Is it grits?
Yeah. It's hominy grits. It's like a semolina type porridge almost.
Right. I always assumed it was like chicken bones.
I think you think of gristle.
Gristle, I think I might be.
You think all these Americans eating gristle first thing in the morning?
That's what I thought. I just thought it was little knuckles and stuff.
This is the worst culinary podcast.
Oh, yum. I love a big bowl of cartilage to start my day.
All right, we are up to question number two. I'm just laughing. No reason. Okay. All right.
All right. One of these might be a bit silly, I'm thinking.
I think we're having fun here today. But I don't care. We can cap corn. It's a song about crack corn. I don't know what crack corn is. Crack corn.
And I don't care. Man. I don't know what it is.
I don't care. The only chefs I know, Gordon Ramsay, Nigella Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, Russell, Clark. Oh, and the Naked Chef.
Huh.
What's his name?
Oh, Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver.
What about Gabriel Gatte?
And Gabriel Gatte and Huey. Don't forget Huey.
Yeah, Ian Hewitson, one of my idols. Style idol as well.
But I'm running out of them. But yeah, now I'm going to add Molly Shannon to the list.
What about Two Fat Ladies?
Molly Shannon, not who I said.
Okay.
Molly Shannon is actually an SNL alumni.
Oh, she was in the Cleric sketch.
Of course, famously, she said Snoochie Boochie. I just resubmitted my thing.
Okay.
I realized I had a spelling faux pas in my one.
Oh, I see. That does change it quite a bit.
I only used one O in the word spoof.
Spoff. Okay. Bahama Brahma. Just feels good in the mouth. Bahama Brahma.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.